the Greater South, and the future of the Republic. The Confederacy defeated in the Civil War was only the heart of a larger cultural or geographic region that geographers circa 1860 could fairly have mapped as Southern. Before the 11 Confederate states could be subdued by the wealthier, more entrepreneurial and industrial North, the Lincoln administration had to contain a potentially larger rebellion. From downstate Delaware to Missouri to Southern California, portions of the Greater South decided against secession or were blocked from attempting it. For some 18 months in 1861 and 1862, the federal government critically improved its odds for victory by 1. Applying military power to keep the border areas of Maryland, Western Virginia, Kentucky, and Missouri in the Union. 2. Supporting local Republican politicians in the 1862 elections, in which voters in southern settled sections of Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois gave the Democrats congressional gains and in two states nearly captured governorships that might have shut down war commitment. 3. Blocking a Confederate invasion of what is now New Mexico and Arizona by a Texas column aiming for California, with a military victory at La Glorieta Pass in March 1862. And 4, suppressing secessionist sentiment and activities by Southern sympathizers in California and Oregon, as well as in mining camps from Nevada and Idaho east to Colorado. By 1863 and 1864, with these problems relatively contained, federal forces were able to take the offensive in Confederate territory, and even then, victory was long in doubt. Lincoln himself was worried well into the summer of 1864. While the ups and downs of 1861 and 1862 may be of interest to armchair generals, for the purposes of this chapter, and for 21st century political strategy, suffice it to say that the Greater South, united against Yankeedom, might have won back then. Today's Greater South, in turn, deploys an even larger share of the nation's population and political and economic power. There are maps that are attempts to portray the boundaries of the cultural Greater South, one by geographer Raymond Gaskill and the other by sociologist John Shelton Reed. The first is Gaskill's portrait based on cultural and linguistic regions. The second, by Reed. His other boundary criteria, not entirely serious, have ranged from kudzu to outdoor toilets to the states and cities mentioned in country music hits, represent an unusual departure. In it, he maps the locales where people perceive themselves to be Southern, based on the ratio of telephone directory business listings that begin with Southern as opposed to American. Like Gaskill's, this map takes the South into Kansas and the Ohio Valley, while also nudging into Pennsylvania. Instructive as these contours may be, though, even they fail to measure the considerable Southern cultural and religious influence through both the Midwest and West. The Ohio Valley portions of Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois, well understood to have been settled from the South and border states, are hardly the only Southern cultural outliers. A fuller look at the extended 1861 to 1865 geography of secessionist sentiment and Confederate flag waving is a necessary but still only preliminary introduction to the reach of the present-day Southern coalition. Both of the two Western states newly admitted to the Union, California, 1850, and Oregon, 1859, had substantial Southern and secessionist populations. Abraham Lincoln later admitted that his pair of narrow victories there had come by the closest bookkeeping that I know of. Oregon, settled by Yankees in Portland and the nearby Willamette Valley, also had Southerners and border staters in its southwest, central, and northeastern counties, enough to briefly hatch a plan for an independent slaveholding republic under Oregon's Southern-born senator, Joseph Lane. Lincoln barely won in 1860, taking 36% of the votes to 34% for John C. Breckinridge, the Southern Democrat, and 28% for Stephen Douglas, the Northern Democrat. Many pro-secessionists had traveled west from Missouri, the jumping-off point for the 2,100-mile Oregon Trail. In California, the population center of San Francisco was Yankee-dominated, while Southern and secessionist elements clustered in the thinly populated Los Angeles area, in the Central Valley, and in 49er mining districts. South Carolina Palmetto banners and Confederate flags flew in Stockton, San Jose, Visalia, Santa Barbara, San Bernardino, and Los Angeles. More tangibly, proposals were made for reinstituting the Bear Republic of the 1840s or for launching a new Pacific Republic, including California and Oregon. And a short-lived training camp for Confederate recruits was set up in El Monte. On the federal level, California's Tennessee-born Senator William Gwin supported the South's secession, as did the state's all-Democratic House delegation. Strategists in Confederate Texas hoped to reach California by an invasion corridor through the New Mexico Territory, and Texas cavalry did get as far as Tucson. Indeed, a new territory of Arizona, spanning the invasion corridor and with Tucson as its capital, was claimed as part of the Confederacy in 1861.